In Mishlei, second pasuk in Mishlei, it says Ladas Chachma Musa. The pasuk says Ladas Chachma Musa. The pasuk is Ladas Chachma Musa, and Chazal ask a question: In Musa, lama Chachma? In Chachma, lama Musa? Interesting, because Musa and Chachma are two different things. Musa is when you reprimand somebody, and Chachma is analysis. So what does that have to do with the, how can you combine these two things? It's like he's taking two things that have no shaykhs, one to another, he's combining them. Ladas Chachma Musa. Love and Imre Vina. Okay. So that's the question Chazal asked. Chazal give it, it's a medrash, it's a, in the Yalkut. Yalkut brings it down. Im Musa Lama Chachma, Vim Chachma Lama Musa. Ella. Chazal said yes. Im Yesh Ba'adam Chachma. A person has Chachma. Harehu lamed musa. Vim ein badam chachma, ein yochel lamed musa. Okay, it's a nice chazal. So that's what I mentioned last night. That if a person, you see, the typical musa shmuas. I mean, I've heard like a musa shmuas, and like not the one guy who attended a musa shmuas. Happens to be on lashon hara, Taka. Happened to be on lashon hara. So the person brought down all the chazal that tell you how horrible it is to talk lashon hara. Terrible thing. You gotta refer to lavin and this, whatever. All the chazal, this, that, terrible, terrible. But that's just musa. That's not chachma. Chachma means when you explain to the person what's wrong with it. You understand what I mean? And that's the problem in general with musa. A lot of people want, you know, there's a sheet of Musa, and then there are people who are against Musa. You see, so people wonder sometimes what was the problem with sheet of Musa. There's different sheets of Musa. I'm not talking about a specific one right now. But one sheet of Musa was to simply subject the person to the chazal, like a tirade of chazal, you know. How terrible what they're doing is, you know. That's musa, but it's not chachma. Okay? That's what I'll say. The name bottom chachma in the yachalom musa. Can't learn musa. Impossible to learn musa. So it means to say that if a person doesn't have any knowledge, doesn't have any understanding, the musa is worthless. That's why we don't have any rabble-rousing speakers that get up and, give musa. That's Goyim have that. You know, the Goyim have that. That's something which is to us is nonsensical, because there's no chachma there. Yeah? Second chazal is also very nice. Second chazal is a nice one too. Yes, must be. By the way, I mean Rabbi Yisrael Salanta's shita san musar was a psychological approach. It wasn't without his shita san musar was with chachma. Okay. The second. Now I'm not talking about the. I'm just saying it was an approach of chachma, but what the approach was and the pros and cons of that approach, I mean, is a separate story. Okay, there's another chazal. Chazal said, "Ladas chachma musar em yesh badam chachma hare divrei Torah masurim biyado. Then ein ba chachma ein divrei Torah masurim biyado." There's a different shot. Well, I guess they're learning, that's a second kind of a pshat, like Chazal learn out, you know, from the pasuk, indirect things. That means it says, Musa, Ladas Chachma Musa. It's from, it's a takeoff on the word Musa. Is that Mesurim Biyodo? It's not a direct pshat, it's not plain pshat, it's not pshat Gamashmal, it's a secondary type of pshat. Okay? So that's what I'll say. In yesh badam chachma rei divrei Torah masurim biyado. In ein bo chachma ein divrei Torah masurim biyado. That's an important halacha. Chazal means that a person can have the greatest intentions and be the firmest person and sit down and learn, but there's one prerequisite, chachma. If there's no chachma to begin with, then ein divrei Torah masurim biyado. That's it. There's a basis that a person has before, must have before he approaches Torah. That basis, chachma. There's no chachma, it's in different terms from the other. No matter how much he learns, no matter how much he works on it, no matter how much he tries, how sincere he is, that's it. There's no, if the approach is not based on chachma, it's in the other. Okay. All right. So this year I gave once before, and this year is on a tape in the in Avos. But what I'm what we're going to do is the Lashon Hara. It's a Ram Milchus Deus. I'll tie it in with the with a Sesame Tshuva. That's something new. There's one point that's a new point at the end. Okay. Now, the Rambam in about Lashon Hara is in Hilchas Deis, the last parak. So the Rambam says, "Hamaragel b'chavero over below sasa shenemol aselach rochel b'machal." Person is maragel. Rechilas. Vav pishin lokin al dovaze ovon godelhu v'gorim larog nefashos rabos miyisrael. Lakach nismach lo v'lo sam al damrei echo tzeu lamad ma'ira ledoi d'adomi. Okay, so that's what the Rambam says. So what does it mean? It says that Lo Selach Rachel Amecha. Rambam doesn't describe what it is. He just tells you the love. It's a love in the Torah, Parshas Kedoshim, and it's Ein Lokan love, and it causes many people to be killed. And therefore, it's placed adjacent to Lo Samar Al Dam Reichel. All right. Then he says Ezel Rachel. What is a Rachel? Ze Shetoin Dvarim V'Holach Mizel Ozeh V'Omar Kach Maploni Kach V'Kach Shemati Alploni Af Pishu Emes Areza Machker V'Solom. Destroys the world. So what is Rechilus really, according to the Ram? What is Rechilus? Rechilus, according to the Ram, is he goes from one to the other, like Doeg Adomi. With Doeg Adomi, the case was that David HaMelech was hungry, and he was looking for food, and he was looking for a sword, he was looking for armor. So he went to, who? Yeah, but who was in charge of Achimelech? Achimelech? Achimelech was in charge. So he gave him food, he gave him the lechem aponim, that was the only thing he had left, and plus he gave him the sword of Golias. And Doeg Adomi was sore. He was Doeg Adomi was learning there, and he saw what was happening, and when Shaul came, so he told Shaul what Achimelech did. So So he told Shaul on Achimelech. So Shaul got so angry that Shaul killed the whole city. No very kind, 85 times. He went wild. Okay. So at any rate, so that's the case of Rechilus. So what's the definition of Rechilus? So Rechilus means where a person goes from one person to another, tells the other person's enemies, and gives them information which angers him. So he causes hostilities, and that's a rachel. That's a rachel. Has nothing to do with what he says. Whatever he says doesn't matter, according to the Rambam. All it means is that he goes from one to the other, and he causes a causes hostilities among two people. This is a reza machvasola. Okay. Now, before I start this, that's rachilus. Now the Rambam goes into Lashon Hara. But before I start, I just want to tell you what I'm going to answer with regard to Lashon Hara is basically three questions. All right, three questions. One question is not in the Rambam, so I'll mention it right now, and that is, we know Chazal say that the Meraglim is a case of Lashon Hara. The question is, what kind of Lashon Hara is that about a land? Right, I don't believe that if a person spoke against Eretz Yisrael that he'd be over Lashon Hara. That was something else, but not Lashon Hara. All right, so why do they say that? Why is the case of the Meraglim considered Lashon Hara? And secondly, of course, as we go along, I'll explain why the onus for Lashon Hara is so severe. Okay. Now the Rambam continues. He says, again, so he says, if a person goes from one to the other, raise a machar v'solo. Then the Rambam says, yesh avon gadol mizeh. Bigger sin than this. Ad ma'ot. V'hu b'chlal lav zevu Lashon Hara. It's included in this lav, and that's Lashon Hara. All right? V'hu ha'masaper b'gnus chavero af pishal mamas. He speaks disparagingly about his chaver, even though he's speaking the truth. Ava la'oma sheker nikra motzi shemra al chavero. The sheker is considered motzi shemra. And Rambam says, Ava ba'al lashon hara zeshe yoshe v'omer kach v'kach v'saploni v'kach v'kach v'yavosov v'kach v'kach shemati olov v'omer dvarim shel gnai. He doesn't have to be something which he's to be blamed for. It doesn't have to be something which is morally or ethically an imperfection. But it says kach v'kach v'yavosa. I say, look, it's not his fault. His father was away. What's his fault? But it's still considered Lashon Hara because it's Dover Shel Gnai. All right, Dover Shel Gnai is Lashon Hara. That's what Rambam defines. Doesn't necessarily mean that something did wrong. Al ze amar kosev yachres Hashem kol sifse chalakos lashon medaberes v'dolos. So the Rambam is difficult. The main difficulty in the Rambam, of course, is that first of all is his formulation of the pasuk. Because what does the pasuk say? L'sel harachu b'amecha. That's the law of the Torah, right? And then the Rambam says yesh avon gadol mizeh. There's a chet that's even bigger than this. Ad ma'od, much, infinitely greater. So who bechlal loves that? It's included in this love. If that's so much greater, that should be the love. Moreover, we don't understand what it means when it says it's greater. Because by Rechilus it says there is a machar v'sa'olam. It would seem there's not much more you can do. The machar v'sa'olam is the worst you can get. Destroy the world, right? So how could Lashon Hara be worse? What more is there? What's left? I mean, what more can you do? Okay? So that's the second question. That's the second question. Third question of the Rambam is the way the Rambam formulates. He says, "Who am I supposed to be chaveru? Af pishon mer emes." Next question is, "Avolom hashekin nikra motzi shem ro chaveru." Why is this? Why should you have the category of motzi shem ro? So what if it's shekin? Who cares? But the same thing. He's defending the person. He's saying something that's some type of character assassination. So what's the difference if it's true or it's not true? Right? Okay. That's the next question. The fourth question around is. The Rambam says, after the Rambam says, Aval Omer Shekin Nikramat Shem Achavero, he says, Aval Ba Lashon Hara Zeshe Yoshev Omer Kachin. What do you mean, Aval Ba Lashon Hara? I just said before what it is. What is Aval Ba Lashon Hara? The Kesef Mishnah's question. What is he going back? What does it say this for? He said, a person that says, Who will love Zeh, he's Nisap Bunos Chavero, Afisham Emes. That's what he said. But if he speaks Sheker, it's Moshe Shemra. Aval Ba Lashon Hara. I mean, we just said that. So what? This year's from a Kavkaz of Plani. So what? I mean, of course, that's what you said before. Nesabab bin Nesavar, what's the edit? All right? Yeah. So my answer is like this. My answer is that when you measure an Avera, you have to measure an Avera in two different ways. You have to measure an Avera in terms of the results of the action. And you have to measure an Avera in terms of what it does to the personality of the Chotev. Two separate things. You can have an Avera that affects the personality of the Chotev to a great degree, and yet the results are not that disastrous. And you can have an Avera which might not affect the personality of the individual to such a great degree, but the effects could be horrible. Okay, it could be catastrophic. So the two things are not always proportional. Okay? Yeah. What Chazal discerns in Lashon Hara, really, what the Torah tells us about Lashon Hara, is an unbelievable insight into human nature. And it's based on a whole understanding of Adam, whole philosophy of Adam. See, the world calls it gossip. Almost gossip, personal gossip. So what's the big deal? But Chazal understood in gossip that it's really something that goes to the depths of the nature of the human being, and you're being involved with his essence in a very, very meaningful manner. Alright? The Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos in Avos really gives the clue by the way he sets it up. Because the Rambam, when he has the Issa of Lashon Hara, he has all the different categories of speech. It's based on V'lamatzasi L'guf Tov Mishrika. The Rambam has all the categories of speech. And among them, one of them is Lashon Hara. That's the Dibur Asa. Okay. You see, the Rambam included under a whole topic, an overall topic is included. Yeah. It's based really on the Pasuk in Bereishis, where the Pasuk says, Vahi Adam Nefesh Chaya, and Tirgum Unkelus says, Ruach Mamala. Ruach Mamala means the spirit that speaks. What it means is that the instinctual life of a human being is translated directly into a speech. That's the way his instincts are expressed. And that is the difference between man and between animals. Because an animal, the instinctual is expressed through action. Or through feelings, whereas in man, it's essentially expressed in speech. That's the primary difference. So Lashon Hara really just comes as just a heading. It's just a specific that comes under a greater heading. And the greater heading is Dibur in general. But Lashon Hara is the Dibur that is the worst Dibur.
the worst expression of people.
Okay. So, what the Rambam is saying is like this. The Rambam is saying, Yesh Avon Godel Mizad Me'od. What does it mean, Godel Ad Me'od? I mean, how much more horrible could it be? Not in terms of effects. Rechilus is the worst effect. That's Machar HaSolam. But in terms of the personality of the Chote, there's something which is much worse even than Rechilus. And that is where the person is involved in Lashon Hara, defaming another individual. Why do Chazal see this to be such a terrible thing? In my opinion, it's because in Lashon Hara, there are many instincts that are satisfied simultaneously. Okay? That are satisfied. And also because the nature of Lashon Hara is such that it is something which stays very close to the mental apparatus of the person that's involved in it. It's not... See, the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam says about Lashon Hara, he brings it, he mentions it only one place in Hilchos Tshuva, where he talks about doing Tshuva from Averis, and the Rambam says like this. He says that... Perek Dalet. He says, "Umehen chamisha dvar ma'osu asom yimashech achareyam tomid, v'koshim heim lifrash man." Okay? So that's what he mentions Lashon Hara. So Lashon Hara is something the Rambam doesn't just mean. When the Rambam says that, see, it's not a quantitative thing. He doesn't mean to try not to be Nimshech Achareyim. No. What he means is the nature of it is that it's a tremendous draw on the psychic energies. That's what it means. See, he's nimshach achareyam tamid means that this is a drain, a tremendous outlet for the psychic energies. So anyone that's involved in this, it means that his energies are involved to a very intense degree. And since that's the case, his soul is being destroyed. That's why to the Rambam, Lashon Hara is worse than Rechilus. As you would think, it feels much worse. You go from one guy to another, you tell this guy what his enemy is doing, and exactly what he doesn't want to hear about this other individual, you enrage him, you create hostility, you think that's worse. But that is not worse. That's worse for the effects, but not for the chote. For the chote, Lashon Hara is much, much worse. See? The destruction of the soul is far greater in Lashon Hara than in Rechilus. Rechilus is something a person might do it in certain instances, but it's not Nimshach Achareyim. Every person senses that you don't do something like that. Certain times you might do it. It could be he does it. But the point is, it's not something which is drawing constantly the energies of the psyche. Whereas Lashon Hara, a person who's a gossip, needs a constantly, their energies are constantly evolving. And you'll see, people that talk gossip is constant preoccupation. It's not just a one-time thing. It's a constant preoccupation. That's the nature of the chait. The nature of the chait. Okay. So that's why the Rambam says, it's godel ad ma'od. It's godel mizeh ad ma'od. Ad ma'od, why? Not in terms of the effects, but in terms of the chote. And we'll see. There's two reasons. There are a lot of reasons over here involved. I mean, it's not one thing about Lashon Hara. There's a lot of factors involved, but the main concept is it's something which is close to the person's soul, and the energy of the psyche is going constantly into it. Yes?
I think he's traveling by the Messiah after he's heard a triple
time. Yeah, you're right.
Constant trip.
So, he said like this. So that's why he says, that's why there's a distinction between Motzi Shemra and between Lashon Hara. Because Motzi Shemra is false. It doesn't have the same kind of attachment to the soul of the person. It's a lie. It's not true. So it's a terrible thing to do, but it doesn't have the same draw. It doesn't have the same drawing ability. Because the person knows. You don't make up lies about somebody. It doesn't sit right with the individual. So he might do it, but it's not something which is going to draw that kind of energy. Whereas Lashon Hara is something that's true. Contrary, true. The person feels in the name of truth, I must say this. So he has everything on his side. Everything on his side, and because of its appeal, and because of its appeal in terms of the the fact that it sort of partakes of like some kind of an attribute of truth, and because of the fact that it satisfies very deep emotions, it causes the person to live an instinctual life. Okay? That's why I understand another Gemara. The Gemara of the Ram says, Amar Chachamim, right after this, Shalosh Averos Nifrom in Odom Bolo Mazev in Lechel Olam Abba. Averos Kachovim, Gil Reyes Hashvich Hasdom. So it's three Averos, a person who loses Lechel Olam Abba. Right? Those are the most horrible Averos. He says, V'loshin Hara Kineget Kulam. Means in Lechel Olam Abba. Why should a person spoke a little gossip? I mean, you know, to the world, this would sound wild. So if a person is gossip, say he has no part in the world to come. And it's massive, they don't have answers. It's crazy. But in Yadus, which has a deep insight into the psyche of the human being, this is 100% true. Why? Because it means that a person who's a Baal Lashon Hara, what does it mean? It means their whole life, they're nothing more than a living the life of an animal, which means an instinctual life. That is their whole essence. And the only thing is, it's through verbalization rather than through actions, as an animal will do it. So the ability of man to translate ideas into thought, you see, becomes for this person an outlet for the instinctual. It means their entire life is the instinctual. So what kind of hell can have a normal bar? I mean, obviously, it can't be. The hell of a normal bar's gone. Okay? So that's why it's Kineged Kula. Kineged Kula means as much as all of them put together. As a person is a shofech domim, how attached can a murderer be to an act of murder? You see people in jail for 20 years, they interview them. He did it, he's sorry, he's not sorry, but the fact is that he's, you know, it's a one-time thing. I mean, maybe he would have killed a few more people in 20 years, but it's not something which is a constant drain of energy. That's why, and the same thing with Gilei Arayos and then Avodah Zarah too. But this Lashon Hara is Kineged Kula, because the constant in me, the mind is drained, where it's an outlet, constant outlet for the mind. Okay. That explains also why Rechilus is the love, and Lashon, yeah. We'll get that in a second. But it explains the other question we said, is that, hey, why does Ram go up and back? Yeah, Shavon Gadol Mazad Mogul B'chwal Lav Zevu Lashon Hara. But anyway, what is around? What is around? Avo Baal Lashon Hara? Because first the Rambam describes the Avera in its Surah, the Tzuras Avera. But the Rambam wasn't satisfied with that description. Because the description of the Tzuras Avera alone in Lashon Hara is not enough. Because in Lashon Hara, it's not the simple Avera. It's the Gavra becomes a Baal Lashon Hara. There's no such thing as a person making a compromise with Lashon Hara. If he gives into the instinct, he's going to be a Baal Lashon Hara. That's what the Rambam says. Avo Baal Lashon Hara is a sheyoshe v'omer kach v'kach v'asa. Sheyoshe v'omer kach v'kach v'asa plam. That's why he says that. And that's why he says, Yachrei Sashem kol sifsei chalakos Lashon l'aberes v'gola. Alright? So the thing is, what the Rambam's saying is basically that in Lashon Hara the gavras mitzvah. Like we mentioned, that's why he says. That's why he has the avol. Now, this explains also why rechilus is the lav, and why lashon hara is subsumed under rechilus. Why? Because in the Torah, you see, the way the Torah writes, the Torah's method is really in terms of especially in Parshas Kedoshim, in terms of the effects in the society. That's basically the way that the mitzvahs are set up. Like the Ramban says, perfection is not. Perfection can't be legislated, but the system of Yadus is essentially in terms of the effects. So that's why the law is Oselech Rochel Bamecha, because it's Machalas Olam. Under that is Lashon Hara, but Lashon Hara in terms of the personal perfection of the Gavra is even worse than Rechilus. But that doesn't mean the Torah has to put it in the Pasuk Olam. because the area of perfection is not the open part of the Torah. Like Ramban says, Kedoshim to you, because you can't legislate perfection. So therefore, in terms of the law is in terms of the societal effect. That's the legislator. Under that is Lashon Hara, but in terms of the personal the severity of the fate, worse is Lashon Hara, in terms of destroying the Gavra, yes. No. You're thinking of error doesn't mean you don't get an error. A person thinks he wants to do it. Talking is when you're giving way to the instinct. Once you give way to the instinct, so that's when your energy becomes attached to it. No, you can think about somebody. No problem. Okay. Yeah. But it's not what do you call it?
It's not a
fake. It's not a fake. Yeah, I mean, of course, if a person, well, any avera, why is Lashon Hara than any avera? A person thinks about killing somebody. So, it's machshava ra, ina kodesh baruch, and it's sraf lamaisa. But it's not the highest level of human being. On the contrary, actually, the Rambam says, hero avera, kashma avera. It means because he's being a chote with his mind.
Can you explain a little more what you mean when you say that? The man is more
closely connected
to Zibor in terms of an outlet,
for instance. Then what? Then what? Then animals obviously only two animals,
but man through Zibor.
Right.
Instead of psychological, like, how does that work?
That's the nature of the psyche, the sublimate. He can sublimate. So instead of killing somebody, he can talk about it, he can destroy him verbally. He gets the same satisfaction, if not more.
Is that worse because there's more energy?
Because he's a psychological being. He's a psychological being.
I know, but is it worse because
it's worse because of the fact that it's this is what taps his energy.
More than even the mice itself.
More than myself, exactly. But the mice is a different kind of energy when it's talking about. But here, it's something which is, this is the nature's closest to man. The Dibra is the outlet for his emotions. That is the outlet for man's emotions. Not action. It's covert is also a factor. Because it's covert. Right. That's the mock here. Okay. So now it's like this. Vod Amr Chachomim, Kolam Asapar Balashin Hara, Kilu Kofar Beaker, Shenema. So what does it mean why is it the worst thing? I mean, look at Chazal Lashon, the Kol Tarkol. Why is it that it's Kilu Kofa Beker? What's the reason? The reason is because he says, quote the Pasuk. Look what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, Asher Amr Lul Shonenu Nagbir Sefasenu Itanu Mi Adomani. What does it mean? This is an interesting thing. See, Chazal, the Torah sensed in Lashon Hara different aspects of Lashon Hara. Different aspects. One is Ritzicha. One is aggression. That's one. That's the obvious one. Aggression, and also aggression is one. There's another one is that he raises himself to a higher level. He raises himself to a higher level as well. Okay, so that is there's ego involved too. But here they sense they sniffed out an amazing instinct. It says, well, what is the instinct? It says, he's a kofa baker. Why? Because there's a certain sense of omnipotence in his dibor as well. The person at the Baal Lashon Hara really believes, after he spoke Lashon Hara, he really feels, that took care of that guy. In other words, I defamed him in front of certain people, and there's a certain feeling of power that he's going to destroy the guy that way. Politicians use that. That's basically a politician. Ashomer will shemina nagbir. Svasena utana. Mi adolano. Means that they feel they have the power to destroy with their svasayim, with their dibor. Okay? Mi adolano. So what does it mean? It means it's kofar baker, the denial of God. Because the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that he's the one. He's omnipotent. Okay? We only say Kelagadol Givanara, but not Adam. But in speaking Lashon Hara, a person's sense of omnipotence is drawn out. It's an interesting thing that they Chazal sense that. It's amazing. Okay? V'od Amru Chacham Shlosha Lashon Hara Regas. Ha'omro, Ha'makablo, V'zesh Omro Lo. Ha'makablo Yosem in Omro. Famous Chazal. The one that's Makablo Lashon Hara, it's even worse than the one that spoke Lashon Hara. That sounds wild to us, doesn't it? Moreover, what does it mean, Ha'makablo? Ha'makablo means he accepts it. What do you mean he accepts it? The guy said something, he knows it's true. It's his mind, it sounds like it's true. What's he supposed to do? Deny it? And what can he do about it? All right, the word is out already. You can't say, well, it was Lashon Hara, so I strike it. You know what I mean? Strike it from the record. Not going to help you. So, that Goyis Maimonides says like this. Goyis Maimonides quotes a Chazal that says, V'imroa dvar mikorim rashoi lahaminu lakabo. If he sees simonim that it's really true, he's allowed to accept it. That's what Goyis Maimonides says. Kidom perik bama bame behemo. Yidavi. I ain't shown. So the thing is, apparently a person can accept it. He sees Dvar Mikorim, so he's allowed to believe it. I mean, you know, Yadis, he can't tell a person, can't tell his mind what to believe. He sees it makes sense. What's he going to do? There can't be any psak. You say you should tell your mind it's not so. So he says, so then there's no problem. So what's Shat Makablo? So you're telling him Makablo is where his mind doesn't tell him. It's true. But I say even where his mind does tell him, it's still Makablo. What it means is like this. What is Lashon Hara really? And this is where we come to the point of the Meraglim. Why is the Meraglim Lashon Hara? Because you take a look at the case in the Meraglim, you see, truth of the matter is they didn't say so much. They said some terrible things. Like Ramban says, what was a terrible thing? They said that it's an Eretz Zavos called a Dvash, and the Zepriya, right? But then they said, Efes Kiazom. Efes Kiazom. Right? That was the first report. They said like this. Bono Lasher Slakanova, Gamzov Laskolova Dvashis, Vizepriya, Efes Ki Azam. Azam, it was true. What did it supposed to say? The Orem Batsus Gados Moz, Gami Livia, Nokri Nisham. Giants. Amal Shevret Negev, Achiti, fine, so what? Then suddenly, Vayas, Kolova Sama Moshe, Vayomar, Olo Nalavi Rashnos, or Kiyochal Mukhalo. What did they say? One word, Efes. Efes. However. So what does it mean? That Efes colored the whole Shlichus. Because the shlichus was really supposed to be to come back and bring a report. They weren't supposed to decide what to do. That was supposed to be we're going. But they said in the report they said effort. So they distorted their shlichus slightly, a slight distortion. You see, and then later they added to it because later they said v'anoshim asher olo imro amru lo nuchal olo salam. The writer said that's it. We can't go. Because of menu. Vayatziu dibas or oretz asher toros obnei solim or oretz shavanu v'losur oso. Eretz Ochelas Yoshvehohi. V'cholom Hashem Yisrochan Shem Yidos. What is Eretz Ochelas Yoshveh? They said a very subtle thing. They said, look, we're not saying it's very nice land, but for some reason people are dying over there. I don't know why, but maybe something in the atmosphere, the environment, who knows what it is. Maybe it's just coincidental. But all I can tell you is there's something funny there. Something mysterious. They cater to the mysterious instinctual emotions. People are very subject to that, even today. Tell a person that's going to buy a piece of property. It's a nice piece of property, but the last few people died there for some reason. I don't know why. So people are superstitious. Like they cater to the superstition, to the mystical emotion. So the Eretz Ochelas Yoshveh. And Chazal said just the opposite. That really, Akash Baruch Hu did that in order to distract them. In order to distract them, so that they should be able to spy the land. But they used it. They just did it. There's a distortion. There's a slight distortion. So really, what is that? That really is what Lashon Hara is. Lashon Hara is true, but it's a distortion. Because why should a person be motivated to speak against his friend? Why should a person say something wrong about somebody? Say something, even though it's true, why should a person be motivated to do that? What's the purpose in it? The answer is, what the person is doing is, he's coloring the whole person. It's a caricature, like a caricature of the personality. He's coloring the whole individual by that one flaw. Like I'll say, we'll say the person is he's fat. I mean, that's something like that. So what does it mean? It means it's not just he's overweight. It means what you're trying to say is he's basically a slob. He's lazy. He's It's right? So what it means is the reason why the person says Dover Shel Binah is not because... Why is he motivated to say it? What's the interest in saying it? Why should he report? Why should he mention this fact? The reason is because what he's trying to do is to color the whole personality. The distortion of the personality. Taking something which is true and trying to say that that's his essence. That's like that's the way they work, Dibat Ha'ar. That's why Lashon Hara is so attractive to an individual. But basically, if something's false, that's Motzei Shem Ra, you're not attracted to that. But this is so attractive because it's just a slight distortion. And yet with that distortion, you destroy the other individual. So it's really vicious, but it's done on a psychological plane with total impunity to the performer. You understand what I mean? The person who does it is completely free of guilt because they didn't do anything. You're not hitting up against any of the barriers that the psyche has to prevent you from doing a verit. There are no barriers here. It's the truth, slight distortion. There's no reason for the person to feel any compunction about what he did. That's part of the attraction of Lashon Hara. That's part of the attraction. That's why it's not, that's why it differs from Moshe Shemra. Now, Mekablo Yosem in Omro, Mekablo is worse. Why? Because Mekablo means, what does it mean he accepts it? The facts, if the facts are true, he can't help but accept it. But it means the distortion value he accepts. He's happy to hear this because he enjoys it. So that means this person is even worse than the person who's on Omro because he didn't do anything at all. He's completely guilt-free. So therefore, when it's guilt-free, it means it becomes part of the person's psyche to a greater degree. Something, whenever there's a barrier, it keeps the thing, it keeps the institution away from the person. But there's no barrier, the mind embraces it. So the Mekablo is even worse because he gets an instinctual gratification that has nothing at all to protect him from it because he didn't even say anything. You see? So that's why it destroys him even more. Okay?
Question. You said before you talked about it, it's a slight mistake. And you see in general it's true because most of the time when it happens, they couple it with something very good about the guy. He's a nice guy, he's fat.
Right, that's true.
It has to be slight. They can't make it the whole point. It has to be part of the whole thing.
That's right. They always cover it up as a sort of, yeah, but it's a very nice guy. But as anyone says that you're not allowed to praise your friend. I'm a Varach Rayo we call it a Baka Hash game, but it's called the Hashimbo. Because it works both ways. See, the moment you speak highly of somebody, it automatically brings into play the instinctual desire to destroy them. So that's why the Gemara says shouldn't be involved neither. Okay? All right. Now, there's one more thing in Lashon Hara that I think is worthwhile. Also, it really shows the godless of Torah in terms of how they understood man. The Yesh Dvarim Shein Avak Lashon Hara. It's something else. One more level. It's called Avak Lashon Hara, the dust of Lashon Hara. What is that? Ketzad. Mi yomar leploni shil yia kamos shuata. It means, who could tell this guy, how levi this guy should be like he is now. You know, like he's being very nice now. O shiyomar shisku meploni. Don't talk about this guy. Amy wrote to us in my ear. I don't want to talk about what happened. I don't want to mention what happened. And the people say, well, I don't want to talk about him. That's it. That's avak lashon hara. It's not real lashon hara, but it's avak lashon hara. He says, V'chol ha-masaper b'taras chaver v'chnei sonov, ha-reis avak lashon hara. If you speak about good points about your good characteristics about your friend in front of his enemies, that's also avak lashon hara, because it's going to cause somebody else to malign him. But the question is, I mean, why is that avak lashon hara? It seems like a far-fetched thing. It's like a causative thing. All right? Then he says, "Well, then you know what Shlomo Mevorach Rebbe called Gadol Baka Hashkeim called the Chachalot. Shemitoch Tovasa Boli De Rasa." Then he says, "V'chein Masaper B'Lashon Hara Derech Schok V'Derech Kalas Rosh Kloma She'ena Medaber B'Sino." That's funny already. He says, "Not Medaber B'Sino." So what? He's a smart guy. And the last one he says, because says, "Who Shlomo Amar B'Chachmaso Kamis La'Aleya Hayora Zikim Chitzim Umavet V'Ama Halom Masachek on it." These guys throwing darts. Poisonous darts, killing people, and he says, "I'm only joking." The chena masaper lashon hara derech ramos. Last one's hardest to understand. Derech ramos. Who she is saper lesumo ki ilu eni yodea she dover ze she dibra lashon hara. Okay, as if he doesn't know that what he's speaking is lashon hara, Ela kishem mamchin bo, when they object, oma eni yodeh shedover zolosh narot. I don't know that. Oh, she'elu maisa shafoni. That's really what he did. You see? So it's derech hamoas. Derech hamoas. Derech hamoas, it's there shouldn't be a rak losh narot, it should be mamish losh narot plus being ramoas. Both. Worse. Besides, in terms of the way he's expressing himself, plus it's Lashnar. No, it's considered Avak Lashnar. And also, why is it Avak Lashnar if I cause somebody else to, I praise my friend in front of his enemies? Why is it Avak Lashnar? Isn't there something else? Durm Lashnar, Gram, but why is it Avak Lashnar? So it's a pshat like it. See? And Avak Lashnar, what Chazal understood is, that's the Gemara in Bav Basra, that Kusam Avdal Rambay, the Gemara says there's three things a person can escape every day. One of them is Avak Lashnar, the other one is Ian Tila, and the third one is Zahuri Avera. So over there it means that Yadus maintains that man is instinctual by nature, and you could never damn up, close off all the impossible. Can't do it. Has to get through somehow or other. But that's human nature. So the three things are Avak Lashnar, that's his maliciousness, aggressive instinct, egoistic instinct, but essentially it's aggressive, but ego is the component. And then the second one is the Iyam Tila, which means a person feels that his tila is going to be answered. That's his egomania. That's the second one. And the third one is the Ruach HaRa. It means it's impossible that a person should go through there without a sensuous thought going through his mind. Impossible. Because by nature, a person is a baltaiva, and it has to go, fleeting thought has to go through his mind sometimes, no matter who he is. Okay? So those are the three things. But what is it now? Avak Lashon Hara. So over here, what level do you see the Gemara is operating on? From that Chazal, what do you see? You see that the Gemara is operating on an almost unconscious level. That's what it means. It's uncontrollable. It's an unconscious force. You can't control it. That's the Chazal about Avak Lashon Hara. So it means to say like this, Avak Lashon Hara is really unconscious Lashon Hara. Unconscious Lashon Hara. That's what it is. But when the Rambam says it's Derech Ramos, it doesn't mean he's trying to fool somebody. It means he fooled himself. He himself doesn't think. He himself is being fooled. He really doesn't think. It's a disguise. But it's an unconscious disguise. So Avak Lashon Hara shows you that what Chazal said, that insofar as Lashon Hara is concerned, since that's the Dibur Ha'adam, and that's perfection of man, to direct the Dibur, channel it away from Ra, so away from the instinctual, the person is even obligated to be concerned about his unconscious. And that's why, since that's the case, so even if he speaks in front of his friend's enemies, and he praises his friend, that's also unconscious. Because he knows very well what's going to happen, and I'm going to speak against him. He needs to wear that. So, unconscious. So, Avak Lashon Hara means that a person is mechuyev to even be concerned about his unconscious. He has to exercise caution with regard to his unconscious, insofar as Lashon Hara is concerned, because of the fact that Lashon Hara is the instinctual expression of a human being, and the most dangerous expression that a person can be involved with. Okay? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's one more. Okay. There's one more Chazal that's important with regard to Lashon Hara. Chazal say like this. Chazal say, the Gemara says, in Erchendas Daf Tesvav Tzayin, Amar Rav Chisda, call him a Saper Lashon Hara, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ein Ani Vehu Yecholim Lodur Ba'olam. And quote a passage. Maloshni basesa rehehu, oso atzmis, divinayim urachav levov, oso lo uchal. I'll tickly oso lo uchal, ala ito lo uchal. And he says, God says he can't be in the same world with the Baal Lashon Hara. Why is it he can't be in the same world with the Baal Lashon Hara? Because essentially what we're saying is that it's an expression of the instinctual. What does it mean, expression of the instinctual? It means like this. It means that the human being who's involved in Lashon Hara, the person that's involved in Lashon Hara, is removed completely from the world of reality. He lives in the world of psychological reality, relative position. He's in the world of envy, in the world of status. And what he's trying to do is reduce the other individual's status. But because of that, he's in the world of is in the realm of psychological reality. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in that in that realm. So it means to say he is completely devoid of the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's completely away from reality. He's in the, he's completely under the influence of the instinctual and the subjective. Okay? Now, so far as the Yom Ha'aretz Rosh Hashanah is concerned, the Kesel Osar, what I wanted to mention was that the it's not an idea in Tshuva. It's interesting. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, take a look at Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, the 10 Prakim in Hilchos Tshuva, and the Rav mentioned that a client should go through a parak every day. When you go through the Prakim, you'll see it's very funny. Why? The first parak you understand. The first parak is Chumash Shabbat Torah, Ben Asa, Ben Asa, Ben Los Asa. The person has to do Tshuva. Very good. Second parak, Ezui Tshuva. Ezui Tshuva Gemara. Very nice. Okay. Third parak is the weighing of the Avonos and the Zechuyos. Also, all right. It's related. It's a related topic. Okay? Related topic. Not necessary, but related topic. Then suddenly, in the middle of the third parak, the Rambam starts off in Halacha Vav. Ve'elu shein lam chel v'olam haba. And he goes through kofar, the different kofarim, and a min, and if a person thinks of God as physical, all the different things that the people of Nochav v'olam haba. Shlosh shein lam v'olam haba kursim, the Rambam defines each one, what's an apikurus, what's a kofar batorah, okay, what's a mumur, goes through all these things over there. Machia Rabin. Why is this part of Hilchos Tshuva? Why is this part of Hilchos Tshuva? Okay, so you could say that the, because the Rambam says in the end, Tamed Vam Amun, Shekolacha Me'elu, Ein Lecha Vam Abba, Kishimeis Below Tshuva. Avon Mishof Merisha, so you want to say it. To me, that's not an answer. Yeah, what is he? Okay. But if you go further, you have more problems. Why? Because the Rambam's like this. Paragraph E is fine, Abba Vesem Vam Akhen, Mr. Tshuva. Imratza lahatas atzma derech tova liyosadik gomer fine not derechra, and the Rambam goes into a whole question of bechira, rein yisrael nechayom, and then he gets his famous question: how could a person have free will when God knows in advance what he's going to do? What does that have to do with Hilchos Tshuva? I don't know. The philosophy belongs in the book. Okay, then you have then Perek Shishi. Perek Shishi is a continuation, basically continuation. Perek Shvi is very good, because that deals with tshuva, with the tshuva insofar as the midos is concerned.
Right.
Perek Shmini, again, you have problems. Shmini is Chai Olam Abba. The Ram takes off on what Chai Olam Abba? What the Sheikh is Chai Olam Abba to Hilchos Tshuva? You see? Then, you tell what's going to happen. The worst thing happened to a person is if he doesn't have Chai Olam Abba, Karas HaNefesh. And then he has over here, he has the, what Olam Abba is called, the names of Olam Abba. And he says, Ramza is called Suuda. This is called. What does this have to do with Hilchos Tshuva? Okay, all right. Then the Rambam in it's funny. The Raiva takes issue with the Rambam. Ram calls it Ram. He gives all the names of Olam Haba, and then he says, Chamu Karla Derech Mashal Tovazun Masla is Suuda. The Raiva didn't like it. He says, if this is a Suuda, there's no kosher bracha. Because the Gemara says that the Gemara uses the mashal of kosher bracha. According to the Rambam, there's nothing physical. Where's the kosher bracha? Okay, anyway. He says, Perek Chi, the Rambam says, Rambam goes on further on what the Nekama is. Shenogman or Ashoyim, alright? Perek Asi is Avodah Me'ava. Avodah Me'ava, the highest level of Avodah. What does that do to you? The Rambam is very funny in the way he formulates it. Here it doesn't mention Tshuva. What? It should have been a Yisodah Torah. I don't know. Different. Maybe not those Yisodahs. Different Yisodahs. Whatever. Why is it Hilchos Tshuva? Interesting thing. So, in case you think it just so happened the Rambam put it there that way, not so. Because the Rambam says, in the Koseres, he says, Mitzvah say achas, we should yosh v'chotam echotach neshem v'yizvadah, Ubiur mitzvah zu the ikorim hanigrorim imah biglola the prakamela. Right?
So, what is it?
What does Ram mean, Ramam? Ramam's making a point. He says, the Ikarim and the Grorim Ima, big Lola. Not just Ima, but big Lola, the Ramam says. What does it mean? What does Ram mean? The Ikarim. What Ikarim is he talking about? He's talking about the Ikar of Bechira Chavshis is an Ikar. He's mentioning, yeah. So tshuva brings into play the other ikar. What is the whole topic of Hilchos Tshuva? What is the whole topic, the broader topic, not tshuva, but the broader topic of all ten prakim is what, basically? Is what? What's the broader topic of all ten prakim? What would be a topic that you would include tshuva and all these other ikar? What would be the topic? Schavonish. That's the topic. Schavonish. The Rambam Hilchos Tshuva is a complete presentation of the inyan of schavonish. Okay, that's what it is. All right. Schavonish has to do with bechira chavshus. As a matter of fact, Rambam says himself. He says that this ikur, if you don't believe this ikur, he says that it's impossible to have onish. He says, how could a Kadosh Baruch Hu punish a person if he doesn't have free will? Okay?
Yeah.
So, and chay olam haba is certainly schar. And ve'elu shein lem chel olam haba is certainly onish. And the last perek, which deals with the with ahava, is how the person is supposed to understand schar onish. Because he says openly, he says a person shouldn't say that Ephraim and Averish is here and I'll do the mitzvahs. Why? Kadesh lo ikars mechayel mabah. All right? Ain roi lo Hashem derech zeh. All right? And he says, v'lo kadeh lir shatov, v'lo semes m'neshu emes. All right, so that means what he's explaining is the way the person, that's the furthest refinement of the scharvonish, the concept of scharvonish. How a person's idea of scharvonish is supposed to be. That's Perek Asiri. Alright? So the broader topic in Hilchos Tshuva is really scharvonish. Why? That's the question. Why is that so? Why is that so? What's the reason? The reason is because, one time mentioned, the Rambam says, when Ram gives the Lashon Vidui, he says, Ono Hashem, Chatosi Avisi, Koshat Lahav, Sis Kachaka. Okay, so you must have Ana Hashem. Without the Ana Hashem, there's no tshuva, no real tshuva. Why? Because it means, if you take a look at the Pesukim in the Torah, when the Torah talks about tshuva, it always talks about returning to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The whole process. It doesn't mean that a person feels guilty, he did a mitzvah, he does tshuva. That's a small level. It's a very small level. Okay, that's not real tshuva. Real tshuva means where a person understands why he did the averis, and he revises his whole relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His reality changes. See? That's V'shafto Ad Hashem Elokecha. What does the Pasuk say? It has to do with searching for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, really. It says, Batzai Lachla, Mitzuch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bachas Yom, V'shafto Ad Hashem Elokecha Shemata B'kola. But before that, the Pasuk says, U'matzasa, Kisid Hashem B'kola V'chofa Mashecha. You'll find the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's in Vaschana. That's what the Pasuk says. That you'll search for a Kadosh Baruch Hu and you'll find the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that means that the mitzvah of the halacha of tshuva really is more than just tshuva on a maisa avera. That's small. It's here it is. Right, it has to do with drishas Hashem, searching for Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's glosh of Hashem. It's a whole process. So the Rambam apparently held an amazing principle. And also, it means to say that the person actually understands. Shuva Yisrael, Adar Hashem Elokecha. Adar Hashem Elokecha. It means that it's around. Ram quotes all this Pesukim in Perek Zayin, really. It's Shuva is more than just the person feels guilty, you did a Maisa Avera, and he says he's not going to do it anymore. That's something, but that's a lower level. The real level, v'nel an tashuv, and tashuv Yisrael num Hashem, a lie tashuv. Okay? Koma an tashuv b'shuva b'sidbak. All right? That's mekarev esod m'shchina. Shinem ha-shuv esod Hashem l'kecha. V'lo shaftem adai num Hashem. V'lo shaftem adai. Tshuva always mentioned approaching God. It's a different kind of a concept. Okay, it's not just the way people imagine. You did something bad, you're not going to do it anymore, and it's a low level of understanding of truth. But the true understanding of truth is a new relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it really means. Revises his whole relationship with God. And he exists in a different reality. That's what truth is. So apparently the Rambam held that since that's what tshuva is, it's impossible to do tshuva unless you understand every aspect of schar v'onesh. What did Chazal say before? Das chochma musar. Im yesh badam chochma rei lamed musar. The Rambam held that without knowing the principles of schar v'onesh, you really can't do it. You can't do a good tshuva. It's impossible. You have to have knowledge. You must have chochma. See? That's what the Rambam means really. Will be your mitzvah zu the ikorim haningrorim ima biglala. What's in biglala? Because of it. Because of tshuva, you must have these other ikorim. In order to do tshuva, you can't do tshuva unless you know the other ikorim. That's what it means. It means that the mitzvah of tshuva is impossible to be performed unless he has a total knowledge of schar v'onesh. Because if he really understands schar v'onesh, then he can revise his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't understand that he could do a partial tshuva. It's something, but not a real tshuva. Not the real level of tshuva shel Adar Hashem L'Kecha. Yes?
Why particularly
Shabbat
Honesh? There are many areas not with the
Shabbat Honesh. No, because tshuva has to do with the person's His personal relationship to
without knowing
it can't. You have to understand the real schar v'onesh. You have to understand what he's losing. What does the pasuk say? Al kein yomer emotional bo cheshbon. Chazal say bo v'nachshov cheshbono shel olam schar mitzvah kineged hefseda. The whole and a schar avera kineged hefseda. The whole thing. It means to say what principles is he going to use to guide himself to whether it's right what he did or whether it's wrong. Is it just because it's wrong? He says he thinks it's wrong. Even just because the Torah says wrong is not enough. He has to understand exactly. He has to understand what an aver is. He has to understand what is the ultimate. How is he losing out? He has to understand that. Of course, he can't. If he has a false idea about God, Then it's the whole thing's over. Ram mentions that. If the Ram mentions that it's true, a person who thinks that God is physical is the thing. Nichas. That's part of Saron. Okay? But the... What? Yeah, ultimate Olam Haba. That's exactly. That's why he has to have that knowledge. He has to have knowledge he has Bechira Chavshis. If he doesn't think he has Bechira Chavshis, the whole tshuva doesn't make any sense over here. That's what Ram means. Ikorim anigrorim imo. Not just imo, but biglola. Because that's why it's Nigrar Ima. It's Nigrar Ima. Why? Biglala. In order to do tshuva, you must have yediyah. It's an amazing Rama. Amazing Rama. It's a way of formulating. You must have yediyah of knowledge of all of schar v'onesh. Even philosophical, abstract questions that have to do with it. That's why the Rambam brings that question over there about how could a person have the Shir Chavshis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu yediyah. Doesn't answer the question, but at least the person must know that area. Even philosophical points. Okay?
Yeah. Actually, brings out free will.
Right.
The
Rama
is not part of
it. Yeah, yeah. No.
Free will.
Yeah. Premise.
I mean, the premise.
Premise. The person doesn't think it's free will. What kind of a? How's he going to do? How's he going to have a? Yeah. What you going to want? Can't. The Rama says. What? No. What? In other words, there's nothing to chew about. He's not his fault. Yeah. The Rama says openly. He says like this. Right. Umama kumhaya, Ram says in Perek Hamishi, Umama kumhaya l'chol haTorah kula. Ubeiza din veiza mishpat nifra min har rasha. Al mashan schalat tzadik. Hashofik alos layasa mishpat. Okay. No. The Rambam says in Parakeh, he says that if you're going to say that there's no sin of free will, so how could there be schar v'onesh? All schar v'onesh is about the mahal. The whole Indian schar v'onesh doesn't exist.
Right.
There's no
supposed to be
a sin of
free will.
Right. I mean, that's what he says. There has to be, because the Torah has to maintain that way. So I'm just saying that that's the premise of schar v'onesh. So if you don't understand that, you don't understand the... You have to understand everything that has to do with schar v'onesh. That's the major topic of Hilchos Teshuvah, the schar v'onesh. Schar v'onesh, you have to understand every year of schar v'onesh.
He doesn't bring it to you, but that's why it's not.
That's Chavonish. No, it's because it's an aspect. Chavonish is based on that. So that's why you have to have that as a component of Chavonish. You know what I mean? Okay.
Yeah.
Clear? Is that clear?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what? Yeah. I spoke about that. Perek Yud. Perek Yud is the ultimate refinement of how a person's supposed to live and understand Schar V'onesh. That's the highest level. That you don't understand that, you're missing the whole perfection. That's perfection. Perek Yud is perfection. Of course, that's right. You have to know that too. Well, you have to know why. You have to understand it. Learn the Perek. Okay. You have to learn it. I'm not going to, but I'm just telling you it's essential to know what perfection is. Otherwise, you know what perfection is. So whenever a person does an aver, he's falling short of what? And what is perfection? Perek Yud. You have to know Perek Yud. You don't know Perek Yud, you don't know what you're falling short of. I can't leave for Perek Yud. Perek Yud is very important. Perek Yud is the ultimate perfection. Whenever you're a chote, you're falling short of Perek Yud, basically. No, that's the right way. Not to worry about schar v'onesh, but you have to. But what schar v'onesh? He's talking about what? No schar v'onesh. Real schar. There's a difference between. I can't teach you Perek Yud now, but it doesn't mean to say that there's no. You have to understand schar v'onesh, how it works and how you relate to it. And Perek Yud is how you relate to it. And then why he should do the mitzvah is a further perfection. Okay. But it's all a part, it's all the parsha of schar v'onesh. That's the major heading of the Rambam of the Shulchan. Okay. Now, so therefore, so yes, that insofar as Lashon Hara is concerned, if you look at the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos, one thing is clear, that the reason why he incorporates it on the Dibur, generically under Dibur is because of the fact that what? That Dibur is perfection. And the Rambam, one thing's clear. If a person's not working on his Dibur at all times, he's not involved in perfection at all. That's it. The mark of perfection is to be constantly working on a person's Dibur. But that's the expression of the instinctual. So that's why Tshuva has to involve Dibur. Because it's involved, it's part of the whole perfection of man. It's everything that has to do with all the with all the tshuva. Because that's the essence and perfection of man. So tshuva must, by definition, involve a person being a shav midiburo. Has to be a shav midiburo. If he's not a shav midiburo, he's not involved in perfection. Okay, so. Rambam means is, just to elaborate a little bit, Rambam means that you can't, you see the Rambam sheet is that the philosophical is very much tied to the practical. In other words, even though you're involved in the practical act of doing tshuva, but unless the mind really fathoms the topic, understands the topic intellectually, if you didn't grasp the topic intellectually, you're in no position to even deal with the practical. The practical can be dealt with only after you have the foundation. You must have that foundation, that knowledge, that knowledgeable foundation. See, the Rambam doesn't mention little facts. He goes into questions, philosophical ideas. They're very abstract philosophical ideas. Some of the most philosophical in the whole Rambam. So the Rambam held that you can't just approach God without the, in terms of your personal, unless you have that knowledge. Yeah, you have to have a basis, you must have a whole mass of knowledge of that in the area. Otherwise, you can't. You have no basis to your approaches. The Rambam Shita is because the knowledge is not just separate from the knowledge is the framework and the whole relationship.